Praise the Lord. Okay. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace and for your love and for your kindness, which is oh so much better than any words that we can speak. We're so grateful to you, Lord, for how you've blessed us thus far and brought us this far. And we thank you for where you're taking us. And though we may or may not know, we know that we can trust you wherever we go. And so, Lord, we ask that you look upon our word today, look upon me and touch me and help me to speak as clearly as you will speak it to my heart that I might repeat it. I also ask that you would touch those that hear, Lord, that they can also hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 7 and 8. As I said earlier, the book of Revelation has been preempted by Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8. I prefer to stay with Revelation, but got to do what the Lord tell you to do. Amen.
Amen.
So turn to Romans chapter 7. And Oh, and I gave some copies. So y'all make sure that Troy and Sister Ada get a copy of the Christians Walking. What's it called? Christians Walking Orders. And the thing with that is Romans chapter 12. Read that. If you can't read your scripture, if you read that, it's going to give you everything you need to walk this walk. Romans 7. Let's get started. We've got a ways to go with this. It's an interesting book. And Romans 7 and 8 is very interesting. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. First of all, I want you to notice that it starts out and it says, I speak to them that know the law. Well, when he's talking to ones that know the law, y'all don't know the law. The Jews knew the law. So while this is good, and I've seen churches take this and literally apply it, and I have seen a man who had the call to preach on his life but was not allowed to preach because of this particular group of scriptures. This was spoken to people that knew the law. That was the Jews. It was under the Jewish law. Uh-huh. And so a lot of times I think this has been taken, and it is a good, it's a good guide to go by, but don't think that the church should be limited by something that he is utilizing to interpret a law that Jesus fulfilled when he walked this earth.
Okay.
When he lived.
All right.
He died, was mm-hmm. buried, and he was resurrected. Uh-huh. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. And so to take this, and I'm not being critical because some people need the law, you know, to keep them in line, you see. But I'm just saying that there is a higher order. The church is made on a higher order than just this, you see. But it's good because what happens is typically they miss the point of why he even used this example. The real point for why he used it comes after this particular thing. And we'll see the real point. He says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And so he said that to start out saying, but no, but listen. That's the law. Guess what? You're dead to the law.
Yeah.
They missed that part.
Right.
You're dead to the law.
Right.
You see? And it never take it that far. They just say, nope, you can't sit in our pulpit because you're divorced. Mm. And your wife is still alive. You got to go back to your wife. That old mean, dangerous woman tried to kill me last time I saw her. You want me to go back to this woman? She came at me with a knife last time I was in the house.
What?
You know, go back. If you want to preach.
Not me.
You know. That's what they say. You got to go back. You see, so, oh man. A misapplication and a misappropriation of God's word will get you hurt. It will get you hurt. That's why we got to divide this. We got to divide it, properly divide this word. And look at it, you know, and kind of take your time and kind of bring it out. So, oh, okay, you're talking to someone, okay. And then say, oh, guess what? I just quoted the law, but you, in Christ, you're dead to the law.
Amen.
So that you can be married to the one that was raised from the dead.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That we should bring forth fruit. Yeah. And so the law is in effect in the sense that it caused us to be, because of our death, then we can be married again. But married to him who was raised from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. We're called the body of Christ. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death.
Mm.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all manner of concupiscence or forbiddenness. For without the law, sin was dead. In other words, sin was not even identified as sin as long as you don't call it out.
Okay.
It wasn't identified as sin. And when the law was spoken, all of a sudden, listen, we're born in sin, y'all.
Amen.
We are born. We are just as rebellious as we can ever be. We are born rebellious. You don't believe me? You put a little kid in a room, a nice white linen room, and you got a nice, beautiful goldfish in the fishbowl and a cat sitting in the corner and the dog getting along with the cat, and you put a little toddler in there. My Lord, you come back in about 30 minutes, the linen on the floor, the catfish fish floating upside down, and the dog running the cat. I mean, you see, you don't even have to teach a child to respond to the rebellious nature. You could leave two cookies on the table and come and one be gone. And you say, what happened to my cookie?
I don't know.
I don't know. Wait a minute now. I had two cookies, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Well, where is the other cookie? I don't know. Did you eat it? No. Well, where did it go? I don't know. Lying.
Yes.
That wasn't taught. It got evidence. And that's just the nature. But when you say thou shalt not, all of a sudden you become aware of it.
Aware.
But the funny thing about that is all of a sudden the rebellious nature comes alive when you're told not to do it.
Yeah.
That rebellion go, you don't tell me what to do. And it comes alive.
Right.
Telling me no. That's the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the motions of sin was activated in our members by this. Thou shalt not. Sometimes that's about the worst thing you can tell a child is no. Maybe you could tell them yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of way, figure out a way to say yes, or figure out a way to encourage them to, you know, get them around to where you want them to be. Because it's as sure as you say, don't touch that, it's hot. Just as sure as you say, don't touch it. When you turn your back, you will hear, wow! What happened? Ah! She touched it. He touched it. I told you not to touch it. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. Sin came alive and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Look at this nature of sin. Sin is aggressive. Sin does not ask for permission. Sin takes. Sin comes in like a strong arm.
Yeah.
It comes in and I'm getting ready to take what I want. That's the nature of sin. And it resides in our members. And it takes. Sin is not nice. It takes. It demands. Mm. It takes what it wants. It takes occasion by the commandment. And then it tricks me. Just like the serpent tricked Eve.
Yeah.
Yea, did God not say that you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, God said that we could, well, we shouldn't eat of that tree, nor should we touch that tree. Satan said, you won't really die. God knows that the day that you eat of it, you'll become just like him, knowing good and evil. And he tricked her. He deceived her. Mm-hmm. And that's what this thing does. It tricks and it deceives. And if you're not careful, you see a little something there, you go, well, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. And if you don't get out of there quick and get in your car or put on your running shoes and get out, you'll be going, well, it's probably not as bad as it looks. Mm-hmm. I could probably get away with it. There's nobody else to know. And the next thing you know, sin will deceive you and trick you, and you'll cozy right up to this thing. Yes, you will. Because of the rebellion that's in man. Mm-hmm. Yes, you will. Oh, you will. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. And so the thou shalt not are not bad, they're holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful or excessively sinful. This is what the law is good for. The law is good to show you your sin. That's what it does for you. But it cannot give you any power to overcome it. All that it does is points it out for you. That's what the law is good for. And so if you try to keep the law, and it's not that I'm against the law, but you got to understand that the farthest that it will take you is it's going to show you your sin. Mm-hmm. It's going to show you just how bad you really are. It's going to put a bright light on it, and it's going to make you real uncomfortable. And you might even want to get away from it, but you can't use the law to get away from it. Mm. That's the thing. All it does is it lets you know just how sinful you are. Me know just how sinful I am.
Amen.
So you got to know that. You're going to keep the law. Just know that it's going to take you only so far, and it's going to drop you right there. And it's a lot of folks. There's a lot. You know what they got? They've got the scales. Mm. This side and this side. Well, if I do enough good things today, then that'll outweigh some of the bad things I did this morning. And then God will be happy with me. But, oh, I did a couple of bad things. So if I do about three or four more good things before I go to bed, I weigh that over. And they're constantly trying to balance the scales. And this is getting you nowhere. Nowhere. That's what we find even in Christendom today, which is sad that Christians are living that way. Good and evil. Good and evil. Oh, we're going to sin. First John say, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. That's what it says. So you don't come talking about, I don't have sin. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Because John already said, say it. Go say it. You lying. You know, that's what he said. You a liar. And so what that means, you need to acknowledge what's going on in you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can handle it and deal with it properly.
Oh, okay.
And quit acting like, you know, I got it. I ain't see that girl. That ain't bother with me. She might be kind of cute. But you lying. You know you attracted to her. You know, ain't nothing to it, man. Just another woman. You know, no, you lying. Stop lying. You know, deal with it. Deal with it. Beautiful flowers are best left unpicked.
Well,
leave them on the vine. You don't hear me. And you know, you might see her, but go get out of there. Make your absence conspicuous. You know, be conspicuous in your absence. You know, you can't help it, you know, from walking past you, but my God. And guys, look, men, let me tell you something. I ain't through with you, Oliver. Listen. It is in our nature to want to comment. To want to say, girl, Lord, have mercy, you know. It's in our nature to want to say, hey, how you know, and want to start up a conversation. It's in the nature, and it's hard to tear away and run. But we got to run. You got to run, guys, for your own good. Because what if she is on the take, too? You more than halfway gotten already. All she got to do is bat her eyes at you and just take a couple of steps or say the right thing in a right kind of a way. And Lord, you're done. Is that enough?
Yes.
Is that enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't pick them. Don't pick the flowers. Let them grow. You want a flower, go to Winn-Dixie and buy some of them, you know.
Man.
Don't. Hallelujah. All right, so you can move on now, Pastor. I ain't through. Okay. Amen. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's why Jesus had to pay that price.
Amen.
I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Oh my God. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. To dwell is to set up house. It's to live in me. Have you been there?
Yes.
That which I want to do, I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
That which I don't want to do, I do.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Talking from experience. Now, I ain't coming down on nobody. I'm talking from experience. This is what we are dealing with in our lives all the time. And it's not just men, it's you women, too. Y'all thought y'all was going to get off the hook. It's the women too. You know, it's in us. We all have sin in us. And it's a very aggressive thing, and it drives. And as soon as you look and say, I should not, sin say, yes, you should.
Ain't nobody.
Yes, you should. Ain't no harm. There's no harm in saying good morning. There's no harm in saying have a good day. There's no harm in holding the door. There's no harm in carrying the groceries for her. That, oh, no, wait a minute. You don't start carrying groceries, see? This is, you already crossed the line, see? Hallelujah. See? But listen. He says, it's not me. It's something that's in me, that lives in me. This thing inside of me is pressing and it's taking occasion. And it's driving and it's pushing me to do these things and to be this way. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do that which is right. But how to perform that which is good, I find it not. I can't find it. I know that in me there's no good thing. In my mind I want to do what's right, but I just can't pull it off. I can't find how to do it. This thing is so strong, it drives. Sin is strong. It drives. It pushes. It demands. And it rules. It rules.
Amen.
It's king of the flesh. It's king. And that boy is bad.
Yeah.
He's tough, man. He's something else, y'all. He is something else. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law. A law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's a law, y'all. Can you stop the law of gravity?
No.
You can't stop the law of gravity. I don't care how much you try. If you get up on a 20-story building and say, I don't believe in gravity, and you step off of that, and you see someone at the 10th floor and say, well, it's going okay so far. Well, yeah, you got the first floor to come to, see? You're not going to turn around a law of gravity or the law of thermodynamics. You're not going to turn these laws. You can't stop these laws. They are there. They are work. They put in motion. And one thing causes something else to happen. The next thing you know, you got the law working. You see these big storms and hurricanes. You get the different kinds of winds coming together. And next thing you know, you got a system. And now they're riding around and flying, diagnosing the health of this system. It's got so many miles per hour winds. It's got this much rain. And it's got a gale force wind of this because it became a system. Now it's almost like a living organism that's working because the different laws came together and they began to work.
Wow.
There are some things that will trigger you. And when they trigger you, it'll spin that law off to working in you. It's called a besetting sin. Okay. You mentioned it before. There's some things that will trigger your besetting sin. And if that trigger is there, if whoop, like turning the key on a car, whoop, 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 a trigger. And everybody's besetting sin is different. That's why I can't see how women bother you so bad. I don't see how they bother you so bad. And you say to me, I can't see why you got so much pride. Man, you messed up with pride. You ate up with pride. Different things. I'm not claiming pride. I'm just giving an example, you know. But everybody's got that thing that pushed them. And you can keep it in secret from mankind, but you know what's up. You know what's going on. There's a law, he said. A law works the same every time it's activated. Every time it's activated, it works the same every time. It's when I would do good, evil. Listen, good and evil comes from the same root. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Good and evil comes from the same root. Way back in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, of course, they are there together. It was resident in the tree, good and evil. And then he says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Of course, evil comes with good. So when you try to do good, his evil sister follows right along. I used to wonder why every time I decide to do something good, it's like something comes up and thwarts it. It must be the devil messing with me. That's the superstition, see? That's the superstition that allows this law to continue to work unseen. And we blame the devil all the time when it's a law that's working. When I was, listen, good and evil is not good enough. Being good is not good enough. You got to have something greater and stronger than just good. We're called to do good, but you need something greater and stronger than good to overcome evil. Good is not good enough. Not for a Christian. It's not good enough. Because evil comes with good. And as far as I remember, in the garden, evil overcame. Y'all remember the story? Evil overcame and got the man and the woman kicked out of their home in the garden. So evil rules in the kingdom of good and evil because evil overcame. Wow. He says, look, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In other words, that's a part of me that I love the law of God. I love the good. I love what God says do and not do. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He's saying, I see another law. Y'all, we're dealing with laws. We're dealing with automatics. Automatic operations. This stuff is automatic.
Amen.
That girl that you was cringing about, that was a law working. Mm-hmm. Woo! That's a law, man.
Yeah.
You know? That's a law working.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then when you go, I need to get out of here, that thing goes, mm-mm. 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 I got the No. Mm-mm. That's a law, and it's a strong law, y'all. This is what we deal with all the time in our walks. This is what we deal with all the time. Oh, I did something bad. Oh, I'm such a terrible. Well, you shouldn't do bad, but you got to understand there's a law that works. And it works the same every time. And then it condemns you. And then pull you. You go to thinking all of the worst things. I sure hope I don't go to hell. And I know God is not pleased with me now. And I better go do some repenting and some confessing. Yeah, we need to confess that. But good and evil is not good enough.
Mm-mm.
We need something so much greater and so much better than that. Amen?
Amen.
Even Paul himself, after I see a law in my members, bringing me. That's like dragging me into captivity. Slaves don't go into captivity willingly. If you ever watch Roots, they put chains on them boys. They threw nets over them and captured them and locked them down in shackles and chains. And they were pulling, and they had no, and the slave master was beating them. Get up. Get in that ship, you know.
Yeah.
And they kicked and got them in the ship. They didn't come over here. Our ancestors didn't come over here willingly.
Mm-mm.
My ancestor's name was Kunta Kinte. You know, he was a chief, man. He was a prince.
Yeah.
But he came over here. He was a slave.
Right.
And that's being drugged into captivity.
Right.
And it's the same with us. As Christians and as human beings, sin drags us and it takes us into captivity. We don't go willingly. Our minds don't want us there. I see a law in my mind. It delights after the law of God, after the inward man. But there's another law in my members. Mind, members. My mind, my members. The mind of God, but the members of sin. My mind, I want it. But something in my members that overrule my mind and it drags me. You know what? It takes my mind and it slaps. Get right. Boom. Beat you into submission.
Yeah, wow.
And it drags you into captivity. And then you find yourself in a situation. Now, how am I going to get out of this? I need to get out of this. Well, you tied up pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
You need something bigger and greater and stronger than anything that you got as a human being. Bigger, greater, and stronger. He said in verse 24, look at the agony. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Whoa.
You serve the law of sin with your flesh. Period. You could say, I'm not going to do it. Your flesh serves the law of sin. If you go and live by your flesh, you're serving a different law. You're serving a law of sin. In my mind, I serve the law of God. With my flesh, the law of sin. There's no getting out of it. That's good and evil. They are two twins. And you need something bigger and better and stronger, which is the good news.
Yes, sir.
In Romans chapter 8, which says, there is, therefore, now. When?
No,
now.
No.
There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Mm.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sin, of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's what you need that's greater than the good and evil that we struggle with all the time. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's a whole nother. It's still a law, but it's a whole nother law. It's outside of good and evil.
Yeah.
And it's greater than even the good that you do, because you're going to still do bad things.
Yes,
you're going to still make these little oomphs and oops, and they're going to continue to happen. But we're, as Christians, we're in a whole nother dimension of existence when we're walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has made us free from the law of sin and death in our members. That's the great thing about being a Christian, you see. And because of this law of the Spirit of life, we have the fulfillment of the righteousness of the law.
Amen.
This makes us righteous. It is an imputed righteous. It is one that is handed to us, but it's still our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ in us. He makes us righteous. And that's the good news. Listen, this other thing is nothing but condemnation. This thing will have you all depressed and sad all the time. And I can't get rid of this thing. Every time I think I'm free, it comes back around again. And I just guess I might as well just give in to it and all of this. And as a Christian, you don't have to give in, because you belong to Christ. And in Christ, there is a greater law that's working in you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, to those who walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That's where your freedom is. And that's where you find your righteousness. It's walking in the Spirit and then not fulfilling the lust or the desires of the flesh. What you should do with the flesh is crucify it. You tell that rascal no. So you couldn't tell it no outside of Christ. You say no, it say yes, 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 100 times yes. Don't tell me no anymore. I'm going to make you hurt yourself, and then you're going to have to get over that wound. He's a bad taskmaster, your flesh. He's a bad dude, man. But Jesus Christ is better or gooder, as the case may be. Gooder, is that a word? Yes, it just, yeah, it's gooder. It's a good word. And so the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's what it is. For what the law could not do, because it was weak, it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled or complete in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, they think of, they continue the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, capital S Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the carnal mind, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That means an enemy. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. It is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. The carnal mind can be subject to the law of God. You cannot keep the law of God. You can't do what God wants you to do if your mind is always on carnal things. It's not even subject to the law of God. It says it can't be. Neither indeed can be, meaning that it can't be subject to the law of God. Folks cannot keep this thing out here. No matter how good they try to act if they don't have Christ, how good they try to appear, they cannot be righteous. Only Christ gives us the kind of righteousness that is acceptable with God. And so even the greatest, the highest thing that a non-Christian can do is still like filthy rags in God's sight. It's still nothing. Still doesn't matter. Only in Christ Jesus. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Okay.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
You need to know that you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells or lives in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So there is our life, Christ in us. The body, that body of sin is dead.
Yes, sir.
It's dead because of sin. And that's why God sent him for sin, in the likeness of sin and for sin. But if the Spirit of him, and really that if should be since, you're a Christian? Well, there ain't no if.
Okay.
If Jesus is your Lord, there's no if.
Okay. All right.
That's just some way they wrote this thing, you know. But there's no if. It's since. We got to change our language, you know. That's why they don't like the King James Version. But you just have to go in here and pick this stuff out and pick it apart, you know. They say since. But since the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That means we don't owe the flesh one single thing. We don't owe the flesh anything, but he will still try and demand. But we have the Spirit of Christ, and we have authority not only over devils, but over our own flesh in a different kind. And I know fasting is good and everything, and you know, that's good to fast and all of that. But listen, we have his word.
Yeah.
We have his Spirit. And we can say no, and the flesh got to go. You crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts of it. That's how you crucify it. It wants something, you don't give it to it.
That's right.
So no, you can't have it. And even though in the past life it said, oh yeah. Oh yeah, not no, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like no. No, I said no, and no is no. No is as they say today, no is no, not maybe. If she say no, it's no. You know. You really don't mean no. So you kind of say it's up. No, no is no, you know, and with the flesh, no is no. And we have the power to say that in Christ. We can say no to our flesh. And we can feel confident in saying it and not thinking it's going to get crazy and come back at us. It's not going to do that. Not like before. Not before we knew, like before we knew Christ. If we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify, that means to kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. That means you have got to neglect it. Don't feed them. Don't feed them. And listen, it's more than just eating food, you know. It's more than that. It's also it's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. You know, the flesh is a mind. You know, the flesh is like a whole world of existence. You know, it's a whole world of existence. And it's an existence there that we, you know, we've got to deny that very existence, because it'll come in so many different levels at us. You know, it may come through food, it may be not. You know, it may come through any number of things. It could come through thoughts. Ooh, those thoughts. I would lay up in my bed and I'd say out loud, "Why are you showing me this?" Some of the things that come to my mind, I'm like, "Oh God, please help me. I don't want to see this." Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't want to see this.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to see this. Why are you showing me? And fight and struggle with this thing, you know. And you got to pray. You got to pray your way through this thing and pray your way out of this thing. God has given us the ability through Christ to do this. We have life. We must mortify the deeds of the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God?
Amen.
I'll try.
Listen, nobody does everything right all the time.
Nope.
So you can forget about that. Okay? But He has a remedy in His Word when we make errors. And when sometimes we miss, everybody misses. John said, you know, listen, we know about this. First John, you say, we know. If you say you don't have sin, you're lying. Stop lying. Stop pretending. Face it. Ooh, I shouldn't have done that. Whoa, that slipped out my mouth. You know, no one does everything right all the time. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
So get yourself off of that perfection wagon, because that ain't going to happen. It's a maturity wagon where you carry yourself in a mature manner, where you acknowledge what just happened.
Yeah.
Now, if you practice sin, that's different than when you fall in or you trip or you miss it, you know, find yourself in it. That's different than when you do it every day. That's different. We're talking about where, oops, when you do it deliberately, that's different. That's a whole nother ball game there. You know, you need something else that we should be not quite talking about today.
Amen.
So give yourself a break. Stop condemning yourself for your shortfalls and your little issues and your little idiosyncrasies. I call them little because they are little to me. They're big to you, but they're little to me, you know. Mine is big to me. And those things come around, that it happens. But just be mature about it. Call it what it is. And don't try to excuse it and excuse yourself. Well, I just, you know, I'm just, here, sometimes I'm kind of, you know. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just call it what it is. Stop. Y'all should see him. Where's my camera?
Okay.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means Papa. That means Daddy. What we call Daddy. Listen, if you grew up with a caring mother and you hurt yourself, or a father, and you yelled out, she was right on the spot. Like, "What's wrong, baby? What's wrong?" Oh, let mama help you. Let daddy help you. It's gonna be okay, baby. Yeah. Why? See, it's bad. No. See, daddy is good. Man. See, it don't hurt. No, it might still be hurt, but you're going. Yeah, it's better because daddy came and comforted you. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't be a better daddy than God can. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we just gotta call daddy. You know, God. Oh my God. Oh dad, please help me. Abba, Father. The spirit, again, here's a little misnomer. It says the spirit itself is really himself. Mm-hmm. The spirit is not an it. The spirit is a person. Mm-hmm. The spirit itself or himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. That means we inherit. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together with him. And so the next part just talks about some of the things that confirm what we've said and the things that confirm what God has done. And here in verse 18 through verse 30, it's some confirmation and some assurances that God has given us. In verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us? To all of these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, God, not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God is the one that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That means he's praying for us. Jesus is interceding for us. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is he's calling out your name. You say, well, there's so many people. That's his business. Don't you worry about it. You know, does he care about me? Yes, he does. Enough to know you by name. And he's interceding for us. You say, but God is, there's so billions of people on the world. You mean God will call my name? He's God. And yes, he intercedes for us.
Amen.
I mean, I cannot figure how he can do it, but I'm a man. I can pray for you, but I can't pray for you and him. You at the same time, you know, I say Troy and then I say Felice, you know. But he goes, Felice, you know, at the same time, you see, you know, he can do that. Felice, Jim. Felice, Oliver, Jim, you know, he intercedes. He intercedes for us. He makes intercession for us. Amen, my sister.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Mm.
Who? Mm. Who? Shall tribulation?
Mm-hmm.
Distress?
Mm-hmm.
Persecution?
Mm-hmm.
Famine?
Mm-hmm.
Nakedness? Peril, sword, or gun, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, or no, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You are more than a conqueror. Stop being down on yourself and stop being so depressed about things. You are more than a conqueror, Felice.
Amen.
More than a conqueror.
Thank you.
Troy, you're more.
Thank you.
You've got your idiosyncrasies and your ways, but I got some too. But that don't make you any less than a conqueror than God has made you.
Yeah.
You're more than a conqueror, Wilbert. Bobby, you're more than a conqueror, Joyce. You're not a conqueror. Do you know what a conqueror is? It's like in a boxing match. You got two evenly matched opponents. And one of them wins the match. He's the conqueror. To be more than a conqueror, you just stand there and watch him fall. You don't even lay a glove on him. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You win in him. We win, y'all.
Amen.
We win. All we got to do is just march in the victory parade. The victory parade. Because we have the victory. I was listening to Gilbert, by the way, your testimony is online now on our website. And he said something that I thought was really good. He said, if you don't believe in God, that's your problem.
Amen.
I like that. I wrote that down. I'm going to use that. I don't even need permission. I'm going to use that. If you don't believe in God, that's your problem. He said, but I believe in him.
Yeah.
I know him.
Yeah.
You know why he know him? Because he saw him work. It was God that he prayed to, God that he spoke to. And it was God that delivered him. So when a man gets up like that, you can't shake his faith.
Ooh.
He said, if you don't believe in God, that's your problem. But I believe in him. I was thinking about Bobby. Some of the things that man made it through, like him or lump him, but that boy came through something.
Yeah.
And it is here today. See, he knows what God can do.
Oh, yeah.
I know what God can do. You know what he can do.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen him move.
Oh, yeah.
In your life. You know what he can do. So if you get depressed, that's your problem.
Yeah.
You condemn yourself, that's your problem. Why are you doing this? You're more than a conqueror. You are more than that.
Amen.
Through him that loved us.
Wow.
Paul says, I'm persuaded. I hope you are. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, no principalities, no power, no things present, no things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
And give the Lord a hand for that. In Christ Jesus, we win.
Yeah.
You got to be mature now. You got to recognize what's going on in your life. There's a reason God had me preach this today. He said it's time and there's someone there that needs to hear what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Get out of the depression. Get out of the self-condemnation. Yeah, it was bad. You don't know you shouldn't have done it. But don't be walking around crying in your beer.
Amen.
As they say.
Not in
your
beer.
No, it's a euphemism. I don't mean to be tempted, you know, tempting you or nothing.
y'all
might get anything from me. I didn't go to school. They didn't tell me what not to say.
Amen.
Some of the stuff come out and it's just raw. But it's, I try to stay close to the word. But anyway. Pray through these things. Pray through these things, you know. Because you are already delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You already win. And you mature as you go. You know, you don't keep doing those. Don't think I'm saying, you know, just stay in it, baby. It's okay. You know, I'm not saying that. God will deliver you from it. You really do need to be delivered from some of these things.
Yeah.
You really do. So they will not ill affect your witness. You see, you do need to be delivered from these things. You need to be honest. Because if you got unsaved people watching you do it, you got to say, listen, I know this ain't right. I am a Christian, even though I don't seem like it. But I'm praying God is going to, he's going to help me. He's going to deliver me from this. You'll see. You know, my father-in-law years ago, after I finally got delivered and restored, I used to drink with him. He came to me. He said, hey, Raz, you want a little taste of this? I said, no, I said, I'm through with that. You know what he said to me? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I told him, I said, yes, we will see. And I never took a drink with him again. Because Amen. God did deliver me. And God does deliver. And folks watch. So I remember him when he was this. And they watch. And after a while, they watch long enough. They say, wow, God did something in that man's life. May take him a year to watch him, but he'll be watching. See?
Amen.
But you are free, even though you don't act like it sometimes. Listen, if Christ Jesus is your Lord, he has made you free.
Amen.
Is that an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your word today, Lord, for your wonderful grace. And we're just so glad to be worthy to hear this message and a message like this. And for the encouragement to continue to trust you in the midst of our circumstances and situation. I know, Lord, that based upon this word today, that this is an important message that needed to be brought to the fellowship. And hopefully have obeyed you in a manner that is pleasing to you. And we pray that we have claimed the truth in this message. And that we, Lord, will then begin to walk in this truth and bless those kids that are having a ball back there. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Ada, we're talking about doing our baptism next week, probably after church.